I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
It actually keeps people from... at the end of the year where they know they're not in the playoffs, because if you don't, you could end up playing a flute at the Embarcadero.
And Chris Ello.
Just trying to do a radio show here, and Scraby's babbling on about stuff during the break. We have to turn your mic off just to return to the airwaves.
We're here at Petco.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Back here at Petco Park, 404 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Christopher Ello, who is whooping my behind in fantasy football.
We got so many fantasy leagues, though. You have to pick one that you really
lock
love.
In on.
Yeah, and that's not the one. So I'm happy I'm beating you, but my other game is up in the air, and I'm sweating it out tonight.
On a brighter note for myself, the Padres took 2 of 3 from the Rockies this weekend. Got back into some winning ways in a series. It was nice to see, Chris.
You know what? What is interesting me the most about what's happening with the Padres right now is that we are heading into September, and of course, you know, toward the end of this thing, and then in 2020, and what, you know, who they're going to keep and who's not going to stay around. Who would have ever imagined about a month and a half ago that we'd be talking about building next year's outfield around Will Myers? But Will Myers has an 8-game hit streak. He's knocking the ball all over the yard. He's stealing bases again. He's playing pretty good defense. I mean, his salary's not going to go away. But, I mean, he's starting to play at least like the Padres hoped he would play. How much emphasis do you put on what he's done in the last, you know, couple of weeks as opposed to what he's done most of the season? That's a tough question, I think.
Do you want my honest answers?
No, I always like when you give me your unhonest answer.
None.
Really?
None.
Okay.
I've seen this the past 3 years.
Okay.
Where towards the end of the year, he starts getting it right. Put it this way, I'm not going to go into my off season with him penciled in as a definite guy in the outfield.
Okay, interesting.
Now, I'm not saying that this isn't real and this can't be sustained, but if I'm an organization, I can't.
You got to look at that.
You have to, yeah. Right? You've been down this path before, and you know we don't necessarily know if the Padres have ever tried to shop him. Nobody's ever came out on the record and said as much. So, my guess would be that this year they really explore that all the way through. And I'm talking in terms of paying for whatever amount of the contract they got to pay for. That's what my guess would be. Doesn't mean it'll happen. But as far as how much stock I'm putting into it, I don't know that you can anymore. This is a repeat thing that we've seen Will Myers do. And that's just me being honest.
I think that's a fair comment. And I think it's something that they will certainly keep an eye on. Joey Lucchese, how about his performances of late now? The last 4 starts, you're looking at an ERA of like 2.05, something like that. I mean, 23 innings, he's given up like 5 runs. You know, this is nice to see. To me, it's not like Joey Lucchese's never had a hot streak before, but I like having a hot streak heading into the off season.
Now,
like this.
I put more stock into that than I do Will's performance, because here's a kid that by all means wants to get pitched deeper into the game.
And right.
Hasn't been able to, on some occasions to his own fault, not been able to do it. Some occasions, just the Padres being very careful with the innings things. And I know that can lead to frustration, but he's continued to battle. And I thought the way he came out in his last start, struck out the 5 of the first 6 guys he faced, was really impressive. And I thought he was efficient enough. You could see, though, I have to admit, you can kind of see where Andy Green's been coming from, because right around that 4th inning, things started to get erratic. He wasn't as pinpoint sharp as he was.
No, he walked 5 in that game.
He did. And that started pretty much from like the the fourth inning on,
right,
he started to lose that command. But nevertheless, he's showing that he has the ability to do it. It's just he has to be more consistent.
All right. We will let's get to a phone call, actually. CJ's out there, wants to talk about Will Myers. I'm curious to what he has to say, joining Gwen and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, CJ.
A little bit under what Tony said from this standpoint. Yeah.
CJ, start over because we missed the first part of what you said. Sorry.
Okay. I wanted to piggyback exactly onto what you said, Tony. If the Padres are going to be serious about 2020, they cannot go in with a question mark of what Will Myers are we going to get week in and week out? Are we going to get the first half of August where he has 26 strikeouts in his first 50 at bats? Or are we going to get the second half of August of Will Myers? They have to have no questions as to who our stars are going to be and what are they going to do in the clubhouse when they struggle. And I think Myers brings the clubhouse down a bit when he starts to struggle.
CJ, great phone call, great perspective. And I'll take it one step further, and this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Will. Next year, after once spring training starts, let's say the Padres stand pat. And regardless of whether they stand pat or not, this will be the first time And at least the time that I can remember in my lifetime where there will actually be legitimate pressure, not only from the fan base, but I'm pretty sure from the media out here. Because remember, everybody was asked to be able to stomach the rebuild.
The growing pains.
The growing pains, right?
Yeah.
2020 was the start in which we could start expecting to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for instance, if the Padres don't make any moves or make minimal moves, there will be pressure. There will be questions asked that at least in my lifetime, I don't know have ever been asked to a front office or a manager, because those expectations were actually put. You got to give the Padres credit on one hand for setting a timeline and trying to abide by it. On the other hand, the media and the fans wouldn't necessarily be doing their job if the pressure wasn't applied at the start of next season.
They're not going to get any leeway.
No. This is the first time in my lifetime that I can remember it being like that. You might be able to speak differently.
Well, I think, back in after they got to the World Series in 84, 85 was a year of great expectation. And they got off to a great start that year. They were leading everything at the All-Star break. They had all the All-Stars, and then they had a terrible second half of the season and let the division get away to the Dodgers. But I agree with you. I think there's going to be more pressure than ever next year. Let me throw a crazy scenario at you. I know you got to go get ready for your TV gig tonight. Ted Leitner, by the way, is going to join us here in a few minutes, talk a little Padres, but also talk about that great Aztec victory over UCLA. So stick around for that. Joe Maddon comes in here with the Cubs this week. I know he's your all-time favorite manager. But Joe Maddon does have a World Series ring and was part of an Angels team that won a World Series.
Part of a Tampa team that got to the World Series.
Part of a Tampa
well.
team. So, I mean, the guy has some credentials.
Indeed.
Now, his job in Chicago, I don't want to say it's in jeopardy, but the Cubs' lead in the wild card race is in jeopardy. It's down to a game and a half. The Padres beat the Cubs 3 out of 4 this week, take all four, knock the Cubs right out of the thing. Joe Maddon ends up losing his job.
I see where you're going.
Do you see where I'm going? Do I even need to make the next statement?
You don't.
Okay.
You don't.
I'm just saying this could be a very interesting week around here if the Padres are able to, stick it to the Cubs a little bit.
I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if, at the end of the season, Cubs don't make the playoffs, that is something that is brought up, whether
right.
it be via media or
right.
rumors starting to come out. I won't be surprised at all.
Yeah. Because if I'm the Cubs, I would not be willing to look into part with Joe Maddon. I mean,
but going into the year, it was said that
he was on the hot seat. That's right.
That's before they even got to this point.
That's even before now, and they have really blown a large lead, and now Arizona's only a game and a half behind. Philadelphia and Milwaukee are two back, so these games are going to be fun this week, but keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
If the Padres knock off the Cubs this week, Does that knock Joe Maddon into a situation where the Cubs are looking to make a change? And if they make a change, then blah blah blah, add it all up yourself out there. I'm not gonna. I don't need to do the obvious arithmetic for you out there.
Indeed,
I'm not going to.
We're going to step away. I, of course, have to head out to get ready for Padres pre and post game that starts later on today. But Chris and my man, Matt Scraby, will have you the rest of the way. But coming up next, we will have Ted Leitner, as we said, to talk a little Aztecs football as well as the Pods. I'm out. You guys have a good show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back at Petco Park, Gwen and Chris. Monday afternoon, there was no way anything could happen in the NFL yesterday that was going to bring me down, Scraby. Not after what the Aztecs did on Saturday against UCLA. And, of course, he is also the voice of the Padres and the Aztecs. Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, thank you so much for joining us today. You and I talked just briefly before you went up to Pasadena Friday night, and I said, good luck. We're all counting on you. And you came through. Nicely done, my friend. Nicely done.
I broadcast a bunch of those through the years, including the last one there in 09, and it was like whatever it was, 34-13, one of those kind of games, and people thought it was going to be that way again. Good Bruin team, but they were still favored by 7.5. They were home, and it was 1,000 degrees. I don't know any bigger win for the Aztecs in terms of the name and the brand of the team that they beat. And to me, by the way, from a personal broadcast standpoint, going back to 1978 when my first got broadcast with the Aztecs, they that game a couple of years ago when they beat Houston in Las Vegas in the Las Vegas Bowl with a tremendous Houston team that beat Oklahoma, beat Louisville, and then just blew them off the field, did the Aztecs in the second half. I thought that was the greatest Aztec victory of all time. I don't know where this fits in the top 10, but it's up there because of the name brand, I think, in the top 5.
I agree with you 100%, Ted. No question about it. We've been waiting a long time to try and beat UCLA. And we also talked a little bit about the fact that the Aztecs, you know, based on their first game against Weber State, would they, the offensive line, be able to hold up against UCLA? And it was interesting because they really didn't run the football the way the Aztecs are used to running it, but their play-action pass was still incredibly effective, and Ryan Agnew was able to buy enough time to get the ball down the field. I thought he played as good a game as any quarterback has played since the Aztecs had Ryan Lindley, and that includes some Christian Chapman games that were pretty good in there.
There's no question. Let the record show Chapman is the wingest quarterback, all-time wins in Aztec history. This kid Agnew's got moxie, not a word that comes up in everyday conversation, I understand, but he's got moxie, he's got guts, he's got quick feet, and not afraid to get out of the pocket, not afraid to stay in the pocket. Nice combination. And this other kid, you know, Robert Thompson Robinson, great, great athlete, second-year man for UCLA. No offense to that kid, but Ryan Agnew was clearly, by head and shoulders, the best quarterback on the field on that day, and made some great decisions, some great Brett Favre kind of moves at the last moment to, you know, pitch a ball, shovel pass, whatever, when he's about to be tackled. It was spectacular quarterback performance by San Diego State. But the defense is something special. And what you mentioned about, you know, I think Jeff Horton wants to run. I think he's had great success with it, wants to run. I think when this offensive line is solid and better, and like it has been in the last few years, they will want to run the ball and control the ball with the run. But they showed with the spread that, hey, if you do have problems running, then go ahead, throw the ball. And I thought they did that on the adjustment. No offense to the UCLA people. They outcoached them, they outplayed them, and they beat them.
Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner here with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Now, I want to talk about that defense a little bit because the Kaiava Tizino is just insane on the field, and he made that play to stop the to pretty much end the game for the Bruins and give the Aztecs the win. What do you think when you're watching him on the field over the years with the other Aztecs linebackers that they've had go through there?
He's right there. I'll give you a great example. A great example. And normally a conversation, you know, and it's not a conversation. It's kind of barking back and forth like players do when they're tired, they're mad, they're hot during a practice. But I was right on the sideline and asked at practice about a week and a half ago. And, you know, they're not allowed to hit the quarterback. So Agnew's on a keeper like he was many times on Saturday in Pasadena. And he's on a keeper and he turns the corner and he goes and he scores in the near end zone. And then I hear from on the field, I hear Kayava say, "Hey, Agnew, you know, of course, that if we're allowed to hit the quarterback, you don't score that touchdown right there." That's the kind of pride that Kayava has. That's the kind of the fire that he has. And I'll tell you what, he's up there. He's up there with the greats. I ain't saying he's Kirk Morrison. Very few are. But I'm telling you, this Pizzino kid is one of the best linebackers in the country, and even his own quarterback, just to let him know. You know, of course, that I would have tackled you right there if I was allowed to. So don't be strutting your stuff or spiking the ball down that touchdown. That's the attitude of this defense. They come at you. They swarm. They have bad intentions. And I really thought, I mean, Kyrie Woods and a bunch of those guys, I thought they're going to hurt somebody out there Saturday. They were by far the better defense also.
Yeah, and you're right, Ted. And Tazino, he'd be the kind of guy that I wouldn't want to, you know, make too angry on the airplane. He might come at you with a quick leg tackle on the airplane. I mean, he hits everything that moves. I mean, he really does. And I was reading that he's a 4-star recruit. It's so nice that somebody like that would come to San Diego State where they can be a superstar and stand out, rather than go somewhere else where they would just kind of fit in with everybody and probably not get this kind of acclaim.
It'd be nice to see more of those, no question about it. And even UCLA. UCLA had a couple of guys, obviously, you know, out of Morse High and others, who UCLA had taken them away from the Aztecs, or taken them out of San Diego. And the more you win, the less that will happen. And, yeah. You know, Rocky's an interesting cat, I'm telling you. On that Houston game I mentioned in the Las Vegas Bowl, he said to me, "Hey, we're going to have a little trouble with their team speed early in the ballgame. And then we're going to beat the hell out of them in the second half." And he made his adjustments at halftime with his staff, and that's exactly what they did. And he said the same thing about this club. They may have trouble with their speed in the first half, then they'll be just fine, because I think Rocky knew his defense. If the offense didn't turn it over, and they absolutely did not, that this defense and his marvelous punting game and kicking game were going to win this ball game. Rocky didn't brag about stuff. He also never lies. He never BS's you. He's simply amazing, and he was totally right about that Vegas ball game, and he is totally right about Saturday. The better team won the ball game, period.
Voice of the Aztecs, voice of the Padres, Ted Leitner, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. I want to talk about the running back situation, because you have Juwan Washington, who is the starter coming into the year, and you had Chase Jasmine actually score the touchdown on Saturday. What do you think's going on with the running back situation? Is there going to be a committee this year, or do you think that they're going to pick one guy and stick with him as the season goes along?
I think they've already picked that guy, and it's Washington, but I've seen him. I've seen him for his entire career. And that ankle injury, I know he's not saying anything about it. And Rocky said he was maybe 70% for the ball game. But I know this guy, and that offensive line is going to be very, very good. And they made some pretty decent holes early on. And when they did that, I know that normally Juwan on his second step is full speed. That explosiveness is not there now. It has to be the ankle. And that's okay. That's okay. You can go by committee, use a lot of different guys at New Mexico State on Saturday. But as long as Juwan is healthy for Utah State, that's really, really large. I don't think it's going to be by committee. He's the guy, but they have really, really good backups. And Jordan Bird, I'll tell you what, this kid looked last year very tentative, like a freshman, you know, drop a punt and drop a pass, run the wrong route. This guy is going to be a big, big factor. He's one of the top three fastest guys on the ball club. And watch him, because as a backup, along with the Jasmine and the guys you mentioned and Chance Bell, they have a very solid and deep. They're not that deep in other positions, but they're deep at running back. And you haven't seen Juwan yet this year beat Juwan.
Well, last thing, Ted, real quick. Kobe Smith, 7 catches, a touchdown, 100 yards. We haven't seen too many good receivers lately. Yeah, at San Diego State, and I know, you know, the Jeff Horton and everyone's talked about, hey, we got to develop some guys that can go catch the ball. Is this a sign of things to come for Kobe Smith?
I believe that, and they thought of, I mean, just he's on the all lobby team, man. He looks great. He looks great in the lobby. This guy is big. This guy's got hands. This guy is fast as can be. And whatever they expected, it's hard. It's hard no matter how stud you are in high school. You get to the Division I level, you're playing for San Diego State all of a sudden, and you're playing against Boise State and Arizona State and Stanford last year. Hey, it's different. It's different, and as fast as you are, the game is faster than you. Kobe now knows what he's doing. He has confidence. He gets separation. He gets the right route. He is a threat, and there's a bunch of them just like that. So I can assure you, this is, I think, you're right about that, in terms of the really great, great receivers since DeMarco Sampson, Vincent Brown, those guys. It's been a run offense, and the receivers haven't run the right routes all the time, haven't caught the ball all the time. I think this is going to be the best group in several years, and that's important if you're going to go to the spread, and they have. You got to have to get these guys open and catch the ball, and I have greater confidence in this group than I've had in several years.
Ted, thanks so much for joining us. Short notice today. We'll see you down here at the ballpark, but congratulations to you, all the Aztecs, me, everybody wearing red and black on Saturday. It was a great day.
Oh, I tell you what, I walked across that parking lot at the Rose Bowl to get to my car to come back to do the Padre game on Sunday, and it was just Aztec Central North. It was everybody all over the parking lot partying, and they loved every second of it, and they should savor every second of it.
No question. Thanks, Ted. We'll see you in a little while.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Ted Leitner right there joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates mean low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com.
All right. And we have our biggest winner, Jason Dinh, D-I-N-H. You are our biggest fan. Not our biggest winner. Well, I guess you are a big winner, but you're
the
biggest fan.
You are a big winner. Yeah, call in, man.
You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Dodgers on September 24th at 7:10 p.m., plus a pair of tickets to see the Aztecs host Utah State on Saturday, September 21st, and be entered to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, including a trip to Legacy Stadium, the ultimate sports bar, restaurant with stadium seating featuring elevated game time classics and gourmet options from Emerald Legacy. Bam!
Yes, I know that reference.
Make sure you sign up at 97.
It didn't even scare me.
It scared me.
I know. It was pretty good.
Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Give us the name one more time just
Jason
in case.
Jason Dinh, D-I-N-H.
All right, Jason, call. 10 minutes starts now. Good luck, and hope you win on that biggest fan contest. When we come back, Gwen and Chris returns with the Big Five. Am I right, Scrammy?
You are, and Thomas. Odd Thomas will be
leading
the way.
Odd Thomas will be part of the Big Five today. I don't know
exactly.
If I should. I really don't know if I should either. I'm not sure what to do with Odd Thomas this week because he's the Patriots. I'm the Dolphins. They play each other this week. Should I not talk to him at all, or should I just beg for mercy? What should I do?
I think you don't talk to him at all.
What?
Then you better talk to him and tell him we're going to break.
All right,
guys. We'll be back. More Gwen and Chris from Petco Park on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
San Diego Padres, Chicago Cubs, Petco Park. First of a four-game series coming up from Petco Park. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby alongside. It's Gwen and Chris. Tony is getting set for his TV duties tonight, but we have a whole bunch of stuff still to come on the program. Thanks to Ted Leitner for joining us. I can talk to Teddy all day long about that Aztec-UCLA game. It's funny, Scraby, and I mean this sincerely. I think everybody who is a real fan of their alma mater or a pro team. I mean, and I'm not talking where you're like a front runner.
Yeah.
I'm talking where you've just lived and died with a team for forever.
You and Uncle Teddy both.
And well, he's lived with the Aztecs forever, ever. But to have a team like that turn in a game like that and win, like the whole rest of Saturday, I just felt good.
Yeah,
I mean, there's very little in this crazy world of ours, you know, that can make you just feel, you know, give you a big uptick like that. But your team winning a game like that after all the years of frustration and losing, I think I share that with all San Diego State fans. I mean, hardcore fans. It was just a great feeling. And I had people texting me from all over the country that I went to college with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was texting them back and FaceTiming people. And, you know, we were all really excited and celebrating. There's something that college sports can do that even pro sports can't do.
Agreed.
And that's just bring all kinds of people from all kinds of places together. And, you know, the Aztecs did that the other day. And thanks to Rocky Long and all of his gang for doing that, because that was just really a great performance and a great win. Now, obviously, you know, they got a lot to do. I mean, last year they beat Boise State on the road, and I had the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost like five in a row.
They did.
So just because they won that game doesn't mean that the season's over. And I'm sure Rocky Long will spend the better part of this week reminding his guys of that.
I was calling Point Loma Nazarene University women's volleyball on Saturday.
Did you have the same kind of feeling?
I did have the same kind of feeling. But what I'm getting at here is that we were there, and I kept checking the score between, like, timeouts and everything, and people in the building were starting to talk about Aztecs football beating UCLA. And so that's kind of cool, too, because then you have another San Diego University who doesn't have a football team, so they're not really competing there, but they're talking about how cool it was that the Aztecs beat UCLA. So big day for San Diego.
It was nice. It was really well done by Rocky Long, Jeff Horton, his entire staff. Fantastic performance by all the guys and all the kids on Saturday there.
You know what's going to be really fun, too?
Wow.
Wednesday, because Gwen and Chris is going to be broadcasting live from our favorite spot in the Gas Lamp, Rovino, the Foodery, located on Market Street on the corner of 9th Avenue in the East Village before the Cubs game on Wednesday, September 11th from 3 to 6 p.m. So come stop by and say hi to Tony and Chris and maybe even myself and say, you know, sign up to be the biggest fan to win prizes from 97.3 The Fan. So Rovino, the Foodery, on the corner of 9th and Market on Wednesday.
By the way, before we get to the Big Five, I want to give you a shout-out.
Me?
From, yes, a gentleman by the name of Kyle. He was my cashier yesterday at Costco.
Okay.
And Lori and I went through with, you know, our stuff from Costco.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I really enjoy the show and
wow.
Listen all the time. And you and Tony do a nice job, and it's a lot of fun. Nice to meet you. He goes, and I just love that Scraby guy.
Oh,
and I said,
you.
Oh, my God. Everybody loves Scraby.
What was his name again? I'm sorry.
Kyle.
Kyle, that's right. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. So you got a shout-out from Kyle
that's
yesterday.
Nice.
That was sweet.
That's nice.
And appreciate that, Kyle. Keep on listening. And Lori and I will keep coming on to Costco, I'm pretty sure.
You guys are going to look for his line now.
Yeah, no, we won't. We'll still pick the shortest
okay.
line. We'll
Fair
only
enough.
Go to his Fair. Line if it's the shortest.
Yeah, because those Costco lines can get crazy.
Look, that is a very competitive thing we all do in this world.
Is
when
line,
we get to Costco,
yeah.
you've got to choose the line that you think is
exactly.
going to go the fastest.
Exactly.
It's the law. All right, and so is the Big Five. Let's roll.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Big Five time from Petco Park. So much happened in sports over the weekend. We've covered as much of it as we can, but Scraby always digs and finds a little bit more.
Do I ever?
Yes, and today we bring in our good friend, Odd Thomas.
Mr. Odd, as I call him.
Promised that he's going to show a little mercy on my Dolphins this weekend.
Ooh, you haven't seen the Big Five yet, have you?
Oh. That is just like a matchup that the NFL should maybe just cancel.
I see what you're saying. The Patriots are playing the Dolphins.
Yes, that is absolutely
maybe the
mismatch of the century.
Maybe the CBS truck will go out like it did for the Chiefs and Jaguars game.
Jaguars,
and we won't have to watch.
Exactly.
It, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
feeling that the Dolphins are going to give him a run for their money.
Just because
of the embarrassment. These guys are still NFL players. They still don't want to be embarrassed. They still have the talent.
I don't think they are NFL players. I think that's the problem that Miami really has.
You know, I was watching the game with someone yesterday, and it was maybe the second Lamar Jackson bomb that he threw. And the guy goes, that's just because the Dolphins are terrible. And I'm like, well, he just burned Minka Fitzpatrick.
Who's supposed to be good, but he's not.
Well, according to his mom, he's playing out of position. So.
Oh, is that what the problem is?
I forgot about that.
Oh, my. His mom's making excuses.
His mom posted on Twitter a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a franchise.
All right, let's get to it.
Number five.
I'm sorry, Chris, but the Dolphins are a mess.
We're starting with this.
We're getting it out of the way. We have to.
All right.
After their 59-10 blowout loss to the Baltimore Ravens, a league source revealed to Pro Football Talk that multiple Dolphins players have contacted their agents and directed them to attempt to engineer trades elsewhere. The players believe that the coaching staff is not serious about competing in 2019. Here's Dolphins head coach Brian Flores addressing those rumors.
Can't really speak to the accuracy of that one. We haven't received any information like that. So, you know, we just need to focus on what's going on inside our building and not worry about all the, you know, anything that's going on outside. I think we got to get better from a fundamental standpoint, from a communication standpoint, from a really overall. And that's the goal right now. Anything else that's going on outside, we need to just focus on what's going on in our building.
So, with the short NFL lifespan for players, should the Dolphins grant trade requests for players who ask for them? Chris?
Absolutely not. And not because I really want to keep any of these players particularly, but no. This happens all the time in the National Football League. Teams start losing ball games, and there's some people that want to jump ship. And I think it says a lot about you if you want to jump ship and your team's losing games. That's number one. Number two, I don't think any of this report was confirmed, so I don't really even know that it's true. Number three, Brian Flores, the only chance he even remotely has to get anywhere with this football program, this franchise, is to get guys there who believe in him and believe that they are all working towards, you know, eventually improving and getting somewhere. So, if it's really true that all these guys want to leave, I really don't think Brian Flores will have any problem letting them leave. It's not like Miami has anybody that they just have to have on this roster right now.
Scraby?
Let's just assume the report is true for the sake of this. But I would say that there are certain people, then yeah, I'm granting your trade request because your career in the NFL is short. And why would you want to waste your career in somewhere like Miami where they're trying to lose right now to get higher draft picks? That's number one. Number two, Brian Flores can trade those guys and get better draft picks. So they might go 0-16 this year or 1-15 and have the worst point differential of all time. But I don't see why you want to hold guys that don't want to be there and why you want to kind of just waste a year of their career if they're good enough to be playing somewhere.
Were you happy when Antonio Brown basically forced his way out of Oakland so he could get to New England?
No, I
that you didn't like.
No, I was.
But this
really
you don't
mad.
Mind. But this you don't mind. You don't mind if some of these reports are true. The players are trying to get out of Miami
because the players aren't giving up on the team. The team has given up on the players by tanking the rest of
but
the year.
But Brian Flores and the organization has said nothing of the kind. I mean,
it's
honestly,
pretty obvious.
What do you mean it's pretty obvious? They got crushed yesterday, but is that because, what, the coaches just called stupid plays all day and didn't prepare them for the game?
Because they traded Laremy Tunsil and they needed to get rid of Kenny Stills because he was talking too much. And so they're not really thinking. And they also traded Laremy Tunsil under the
What pretense. Was Laremy Tunsil going to do about 52-3
no,
or
he
something
wasn't,
at halftime?
But the players said that they were going to revolt if that happened. And they went ahead and did it anyway. That's telling the players, I don't care about you. I don't care about what you think.
Nah,
or
those
what you
are just
reports.
You're just buying into a bunch of stupid reports down there. They're trying to make a messier situation messier, and they're succeeding. But the problem is, it's still the National Football League, and that 59-10 score is on you if you're a player with the Miami Dolphins. You have to wear that. Don't be blaming it on somebody else, Minka Fitzpatrick's mother.
All right.
Number four.
Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide routed New Mexico State.
Oh, you
State
go to
Saturday.
Another one of my favorite subjects, Scraby.
You know, I didn't, when I set this up, I didn't think
I wanted to congratulate my favorite college football coach, Nick Saban.
See, why do you always go against what you have to say?
I don't know.
All right, routed New Mexico State Saturday 62-10. And when he was asked about the scheduling after the games, as you may know, that didn't quite go over well. Here he is in the postgame talking about the scheduling.
Look, I've talked about this before. All right, so we try to schedule the best teams that we can schedule. And we're trying to do that in the future as well. But we can only play the people who are willing to play us. I've said my opinion about playing 12 Power 5 schools. That's what I would rather do. I'd rather play 10 SEC games and then play two other Power 5 schools. So all the games are exciting for the fans. All the games are good football. You wouldn't have to go undefeated to get in the playoffs because you'd play a more quality schedule. I've been through and covered that ground 100 times. Would I rather play other teams? No disrespect to New Mexico State. Their coach works hard. Their players played hard. But if it's my philosophy that we should play 12 Power 5 schools, I'd say the answer to that would be yes. But that's a philosophical answer. All right, and that's not the way it is. All right, so I don't know why you would ask me that question, as if I could do something about it, when I can't do anything about it. So we're playing the best teams that we can get to play us. Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
So,
all right. Well, call the Indianapolis Colts. See if you can't get a game with them. You know what? I like it's your turn. You're
no,
first.
Well, no, Thomas has to ask the question
so,
first.
Scraby, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a problem is scheduling in college football?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, I would say a 5 because I don't want to see Alabama beat New Mexico State 62-10. But Nick Saban's right. I think if Nick Saban could get, say, I'm just pulling a team out there, if he can get Notre Dame in there to play week 2 game, then I think he would. But he can't because that team, Notre Dame, doesn't want to go play Alabama because then their whole postseason hopes are dashed if they lose a big game to Alabama. So I think the scheduling is exactly what Nick Saban said it is. He can't do anything about it, and if he's challenging reporters to go and try to find a better team, then he probably really can't do anything about it because he hates reporters and he wants nothing to do with reporters.
All right, let me learn you something here, Scraby.
Learn me?
Yes, I'm going to learn you something here.
Okay, here we go.
Nick Saban can say whatever he wants, and that's fine. The bottom line is, if any good team called and said they wanted to play Alabama, they would want to play a home-and-home series.
Okay, yes.
And Alabama would say no. You come down here and play us twice, we might think about going to your place once. That's what Alabama does to avoid getting to having to play tough teams. And he's totally mistaken. Rocky Long would play him in 2 seconds.
But
they, Alabama would never come to San Diego.
But so, don't you think the Aztecs should go there twice?
Me?
Don't you think they
no,
should go
they
there
shouldn't.
Twice?
No, they should go there once. Alabama should come here once if they're going to do it. But the Alabama would never go for that. Alabama puts other rules on itself because they are so aloof and above everybody. They think they can just do whatever it is they want. And I also disagree with Nick Saban on this you schedule them thing because – New Mexico State's one thing, but you look further down the schedule this year and you see Western Carolina or Wofford or Georgia Southern Tech or East Northwest
the
South,
Citadel.
South
yeah, the
Citadel. Dakota, the Citadel last year. Don't tell me these are the only teams you can schedule. And those games are always played right before Auburn or LSU so that he can give his team a week off. So although Nick Saban wants to get angry and say he's addressed this 100 times, he hasn't really done anything at all. It's all just speak.
All right.
All right.
Number three.
Chiefs wide receiver Sammy Watkins had one of the best games of his career yesterday, catching 8 passes for 198 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill to an injury, and he will be out a few weeks. Is Sammy Watkins worried? In the postgame, he said, "We're going to have to find a way to win the next 6-7 weeks with him being out. I think we have the coaches to do that." So, Chris, how much does good coaching outweigh execution on the field?
Oh, I think it's – I don't know that it outweighs it. I'll be honest with you. I really don't think it even outweighs it. At the NFL level, the coaches would love us to believe that they are geniuses and they are coming up with different ways to invent football and offense and all these things. The reason the Chiefs are so successful is Andy Reid's a good coach, but so is everybody else to a large part in the NFL. The Chiefs are so successful because they have so many weapons that they just can't be stopped. And I think, you know, if they don't have Tyreek Hill, it's going to definitely take a huge weapon away from them. So I disagree on that. I think the talent on the field and the execution is more important than the coaching, although the coaches would never let you believe that.
Scraby?
I think that, yeah, at the NFL level, good coaching does not outweigh execution because ultimately you're just telling these guys what to do and they have to go out there and do it. And they're going to be, audibling, doing all that stuff on the field anyway. So it doesn't really, I mean, the coaches could put a good game plan in there. They could tell them, hey, we're going to run this route. We're going to do this a lot. But ultimately, it's up to the players. So I think that Sammy Watkins is just trying to find something to make Chiefs fans feel better, his fans or his team feel better. I don't see Tyreek Hill being out. It's not going to help them anyway, obviously.
No.
But
it's going to hurt them.
It's going to hurt them. And Sammy Watkins now is probably their number one guy. And so he's going to get the double teams. He's going to get the more attention because they don't need to take into account Tyreek Hill.
All right. Good job.
What do you think, Thomas?
It's going to be – I think they've got a ton of weapons. Between Kelce, now LeSean McCoy looked like the guy from Philadelphia yesterday too, back with Andy Reid. I think it's going to be –
Yes, because he's got so much talent around him.
Exactly.
That's why.
Number two.
The Red Sox fired President Dave Dombrowski last night, less than a year after his team won the World Series, and now will face some tough decisions. According to Alex Spear of the Boston Globe, the Red Sox are likely to part with some big names, he said. In re-signing Eovaldi and reaching a long-term deal with Chris Sale, Dombrowski put the Sox in a position where, based on their payroll projections and a significant desire to get under the luxury tax threshold sometime in the next 2 years to reset the penalty structure, they'll likely end up parting with either JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, or possibly even both this winter. So, Scraby, are you giving up one, both, or none of these guys?
I love giving my opinion, but I am not qualified for this. So, Thomas, you get to answer this for me.
You're the Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
I'd end up liking to get rid of JD. Unfortunately, he's older. Mookie doesn't play the outfield. He's a gold glover, steals bases. JD's battled back spasms this last year, and I think if you're going to have to give up one, I think Mookie Betts is part of the future, and JD, you know, he's getting close to 30, and who knows how much longer. And I think you can find DHs. I know that's, you know, kind of mean to say because he's been a great player, and, you know, they wouldn't have won the World Series without him, but if it was me, I would have to say JD is the one to go.
All right, that's my answer.
I agree with you, but I do want to throw this in. I think it's really – and we don't know everything that happened here, but on the surface, this seems really, really lousy, the Red Sox, to be firing a guy less than a year after winning the World Series.
And he's brought division titles in the two of the last 3 years as well.
I just don't get it. They had a bad season this year for the Red Sox.
I was going to say.
But for a lot of teams, they had a really good season. This doesn't seem like a very nice and – you know, fair thing to do. But then again, maybe there was some issues behind the scenes that I don't know about. But on the surface, this looks ugly to me for the Red Sox to be firing their president less than a year after winning a World Series. I don't like it.
Yeah, neither do I. All right.
Number one.
USC's athletic director, now former AD Lynn Swanby, because he stepped down today. The John Quintero Show caught up with Los Angeles Times reporter Arash Markazi and asked him whether or not the next athletic director needs to have some experience.
Yes, you have to bring in someone who's been an athletic director, a successful athletic director. And listen, that doesn't mean that you can't bring on a former player to help you in some way, shape, or form as an associate or an assistant athletic director. But to have someone in charge of the department who's never had that job before, I always thought was ridiculous, and I would hope that they learn from their mistakes now here moving forward.
So, Chris, if you were to bring in a new AD, does he need to have any experience?
I think so. A place like USC, it's going to serve him well. I mean, this is a big-time place, big-time program, big-time expectations. You got to deal with big, powerful boosters. You've got to have yourself some experience. I would spend a little more time on this. We don't quite have as much time as I'd like. But Lynn Swann stepping away is a little shaky, considering everything else that's happened around USC and that university the last year or so.
Scraby?
Yeah, you definitely need experience, like you said, at that level as well, because when I first started in radio, I thought, put me behind that mic. I know what the heck I'm doing. You don't know. Just give me a chance. Well, I got a chance, and I had no idea what I was doing, and I needed years more of experience. So you have to have experience to be in such a high-profile position, because Lynn Swann's never dealt with these people. He's played football, and he has good relationships, but like Arash said, bring Lynn Swann in as a supplement to a guy who knows what he's doing.
All right, guys.
That'd be the way to go if you're the Trojans.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, plenty more to come here on Gwynn and Chris. Matt Scraby sitting in, and he needs to read something very quickly.
I was just
going to
say, we were talking about Notre Dame playing a big-name school. Well, our boss, Adam. Notre Dame plays UGA in 2 weeks, so that should be a good one. So at least UGA is playing some.
Well, it's so funny that Georgia can schedule Notre Dame. Why can't Alabama?
Exactly.
Yeah, that whole Nick Saban thing was a very nice quote by Nick, but he's not fooling me, man. He's not fooling me.
I thought he was your favorite, though.
He isn't. Mick McGrane is going to join us in the final hour of the program, talk some more about that great Aztec victory. We'll have our countdown focusing on week one of the National Football League. All of it is still ahead. Stick with Gwynn and Chris from Petco Park on your home for Padre Baseball 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.